My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John making a rare Monday appearance with us today. And John, how are you?
I'm doing just great. Just back from your state of Michigan, and it's cold out there.
Big surprise. It's not that warm in Washington right now, but certainly as December rolls on, the upper Midwest feeling the frigid temperatures. John, plenty of heat, though, in Iowa, maybe not outside, but on the stage at the debate on Saturday night, more shots fired at Newt Gingrich probably than any other previous debate. We'll get to Mitt Romney in a second, but it's really the first major debate with Newt as kind of the clear front runner both nationally and in Iowa. How did he hold up?
He handled himself quite well. Remember, the format of a debate a week works to the advantage of the former Speaker of the House. He's a skilled debater from his days in the House floor, and not only that, taking on opponents ranging from Barney Frank to Bill Clinton, and even people abroad on key issues. So he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to issue the soundbite. I might add that whenever someone is the front runner, people fire at him. I've seen it happen with Ronald Reagan. I certainly saw it happen with George H.W. Bush and his son, George W. Bush, through presidential campaigns. The intensity of the fire indicates Newt is the person to beat, and he's handling himself well so far. Remember, the Iowa caucuses are January 3rd, and that's not that far after Christmas.
John, let's talk about the moment that most people are talking about in reaction to Saturday's debate, and that's the exchange between Mitt Romney and Rick Perry, with Rick Perry once again saying that Mitt Romney has supported individual mandates for health care in the past, which he clearly did in Massachusetts, but also making the allegation that Romney, the first printing of his book, suggested that it would be a good model for the nation. Romney vigorously denying that and saying he'd be willing to bet $10,000 that that's not true. Ultimately, Perry, of course, didn't take the bet, but some folks are painting Romney as out of touch. If anybody just casually dares to wager $10,000, he can't possibly, you know, relate to people who are perhaps living paycheck to paycheck. Others say it's not a big deal. It's clearly not going to be the defining factor here. In the end, how big of a deal is this?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think the story is going to last for a while, but if you don't like Mitt Romney already, it's very easy for you to find something to criticize, even when it's what many consider a poor choice of words. In these economic times, someone who talks cavalierly about wagering $10,000 is going to come under fire. Similarly, there's a lot of people who do not think you should talk that openly about gambling that way, particularly when one's faith discourages that. In other words, when you use a figure of speech these days, be careful if you're in politics. I think Mitt Romney learned that, and I think it's going to subside in a time. But this is what we've become. With the almost numbing sequence of debates every week, a poor choice of words or an inappropriate choice of words is going to be the big news story the next day.
John, real quick, just keeping up with your expectations, you've said multiple times that you still think Romney will be the nominee. Do you still believe that?
Yes, I do. He's going to have to work hard. He's going to probably be beaten up. He will come to the convention hall in Tampa with some scars and dings that are noticeable. But in the end, everyone will hoist him on their shoulders, and his former opponents will embrace him on the stage. But I do believe he will be the nominee for the simple reason he planned for a national campaign. Newt Gingrich is putting together a campaign, albeit quickly through patchwork. And as Rocky the Flying Squirrel used to say, that never works.
John, all of them, of course, are trying to get to the White House. You beat them all there over the weekend at the White House Christmas party. What was that like?
Well, as always, it's a joy, because even people you have disagreements with or colleagues that you're not close to all embrace and hug and wish one another Merry Christmas. That's how it was. And it certainly helps when you have the run of the best-known address in the nation. My niece, Bridget House, a nurse, came. She was delighted. And at the moment when she would get her photographed and be introduced to the president and the first lady, I have to say that President Obama was an absolute charmer. He said to her he liked being with nurses, which she is, anyone who's in the business of saving people's lives he liked, and he told her she cleaned up well and she looked like Audrey Hepburn. I don't think Bridget's going to forget that. And I hope not forget Uncle John for bringing her.
There you go. John, let's get to a couple other topics briefly in our remaining time here. And one that was certainly less pleasant for the president than that party was the testimony of Eric Holder before the House Judiciary Committee last week, trying to defend a apparent gap in the paper trail of Elena Kagan in terms of the legal defense of the president's health care plan, and also his handling and the department's handling of the Fast and Furious affair. What do you make of his performance, and do you think that there really is a lot of pressure on him to leave?
Well, certainly Eric Holder, who enjoys the president's confidence, is having to spend an increasing amount of time, first of all, explaining the government side in the Fast and Furious case, which has led to some tragedy and some big misunderstandings about the United States dealing with Mexico and a program that was designed to try and stop Mexican gangsters and those who would cause trouble on the borders of the United States. It's mushroomed into something that was poorly managed and in which not a lot of truth is being told, apparently. The man at the top has to deal with all of this. And now, as well, he has to talk about former Solicitor General, now Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan, and her involvement in the defense of the health care plan. My guess is that past attorneys general, Ed Meese under Ronald Reagan, Alberto Gonzalez under George W. Bush, when they become preoccupied and increasing amount of time is spent on their troubles and they have to explain things, they will go. And I would not be surprised if Eric Holder returned to the practice of law before January 20th, 2013.
John, very quickly, last topic. Since we last spoke, Vladimir Putin getting some surprising parliamentary election results. Not bad enough to have him lose his job, but certainly a much poorer performance for his party than we thought. What do you make of it, and will it affect his chances of being reelected president next year?
Well, I don't think people felt that Hillary Clinton went too far when the U.S. Secretary of State said that the Russian elections for the Duma or Parliament were, quote, fraud, unquote. That's a powerful synonym, all right, and an increasing amount of people believe that. Witness the demonstrations that grow every day in Moscow and other cities with people raising signs that Putin must go, jail for Putin, etc. My guess is that Vladimir Putin is not Mubarak or Gaddafi. He has not reached the point where he's lost control. And I even know an American living in Russia who says Putin is good for that country because he's trying to wrench it into modern times. I'm not going to get into that debate, but I will say that his reelection and the realignment, resetting, if you will, of President Medvedev into being prime minister and Vladimir Putin again into the top job is not going to be as easy as planned. The only problem for the opposition forces is, as enthusiastic as they are, as loud as they are in the streets, they don't have a candidate, and that's going to be very, very difficult to overcome.
John, we've got to run. As always, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Looking forward to the successor to the Arab Spring and hoping it's a Russian Spring. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.